A friend of mine's mother had a certain fondness for blue language, and as her children became teenagers, began cursing rather freely in their presence. One Christmas day, when everything seemed to be going wrong, and she was complaining about it, her daughter said, "Mom, I thought on Christmas everybody was supposed to be jolly." The mother shot back, "Oh, jolly ass." My friend was still laughing at that years later, when it cracked me up too, and I cherished the memory of that episode 40 years after it happened, despite that I wasn't even there. Why? And you're probably waiting for me to get to George Carlin's famous routine about the 7 words you can never say on television. It would be downright antisocial not to list them now, and he does. The question is, though, why that routine is so well remembered almost 50 years later, while some of us would be hard-pressed to remember anything else Carlin said, or anything that comedian David Brenner, also a phenom at the time, ever said at all. And if you draw a blank on Brenner completely, case in point. More to the point, this book is all about the words themselves. Not every single cuss we can name, though. Do you really need a list of all the cuss words for certain parts of a male anatomy? We're going to work with a lean list of the staple, principal cast, dirty words you giggled at when you learned them as a kid. The words you want to know when learning a second language, and the ones you hope your kids won't use. And yet you would never feel your full self without deploying a few of them now and then. To wit, and hopefully with some of it, let's look in for a spell on 9 nasty ways of being human. It's from the introduction to 9 nasty words, English in the Gutter, Then, Now, and Forever, by John McWhorter. Okay, so I can't say any of these 9 words in my review today, but I'll wager that you will know each one of them without much prompting from me or from the book. I'll mention most of them during the course of my review, forewarning. All of this goes to the point made early in 9 Nasty Words by the late comedian George Carlin. It is we who give words their power, their hold on us. On their own, words are inanimate objects that say what they say. Or, as our author puts it, the essence, the piqued sense of offense, and how we cope with that blow via the visceral and immediate gesture of swatting back cuss words. You level your revenge by saying something you would have been told you should not. Herein lies profanity's punch, as Carlin deftly got it across, quote, "These words have no power. We give them this power by refusing to be free and easy with them. We give them great power over us," end quote. They really in themselves have no power. Curses, McWhorter goes on to say, are words that have long ago ceased being themselves, having been vested with the power of transgression. They may have emerged as ordinary words, but over time, they made their way from our left brains to our right brains. Going on, he tells us that these words express our emotions in ways that humans understand, it seems, even from a very early age, that emotions need to be expressed, and expressing them in words and not with fists is probably a good social adaptation we've made over the years. Indeed, our author suggests that modern-day science has discovered that it is the emotional side of the brain that causes us to use these 9 nasty words when we're having a heightened emotional moment. The side of our brain which is more reasoned in its approach and slower to react gift-wraps our emotions and chooses ways of speaking that don't use swear words. But because the reasoned side of the brain is slower to react, it is not likely to win out in moments of heightened emotional state, as we learn regularly in our social interactions. Which is to say, obviously, that words have meaning regardless of their origin in history or in our minds. Today's compilation of 9 nasty words is a wonderful capture of contemporary social mores that will, likely, change in another generation or 2. Or 3, as the author points to the changing perception of the nastiness of using the H word and the D word. Those no longer have the power they once did, And he mentions a few other words that used to be very, very powerful and very, very head-turning that really don't matter that much today. Sprinkled with the author's own experience of words as a child, an adolescent, and a college student from the 1970s forward, and name-dropping pop culture moments and icons using these nasty words, or at least alluding to them, from Chaucer to Dick Van Dyke, All in the Family, and Good Times, The Jeffersons, and many more 20th century, early 21st century TV, this makes the lexonic side of the book much more palatable and readable, I suggest. Indeed, McWhorter takes a wide swath of film references as well, from the 1920s forward, citing Disney's usual moral rectitude with language, and gleefully contrasting it with Looney Tunes' much more freewheeling ways with language. So, whether you're intrigued by the Old English term that attracts much attention in the bedtime storybook Go the F to Sleep, which I reviewed a couple of years ago, or you are captivated by we English speakers' centuries-old fascination with referring to bodily excrement when we curse, most clearly espoused with the S word, there is a word in here for you. By the way, McWhorter notes many of the references to bodily functions as curse words seem to have developed special piquancy in the many, many centuries when one could not criticize God or the church without severe social consequences. And so referring publicly to the afterlife, or to God, in a cursing manner was simply out of the question. But poking fun at bodily functions we all experience was much less socially dangerous. And doing so with verve expressed one's annoyance, displeasure with stuff quite as well as we've all experienced into this very day. The nine words are ones we've heard, and if we're honest, are words most of us have used more than once at times in our lives when that urge to let off steam through wordplay was just too powerful. Here's a partial rundown of a list of those nine nasty words tidied up for public radio. The much aforementioned F word, S word, there's ASS. And we find two very contemporary expletives making the list, words that have particularly resonance and anger when applied to groups of people, not necessarily individuals, although they can be used that way. The other F word, this one, the pejorative reference to gay men that developed for the British word for a gathered bunch of sticks. And moving way out of our comfort zones, McWhorter takes up the question of the N word. You'll notice two pretty common epithets didn't make the list, the H word and the D word. And why, you may ask? Because, as our author tells us, they have become so common in our lives that they no longer pack that Carlin punch that they did when many of us were younger. I found McWhorter's deep dives into the academic, the linguistic side of these words, either fascinating or a bit boring. He has a way of wandering into rabbit holes that tell us more and more about words we find as individuals, particularly piquant when uttered. But perhaps more than we want to know about some of these nine words' origins and use over the centuries. It's really an individual taste kind of thing. Thank goodness there is plenty of levity and surprise sprinkled throughout to make the book more than enough of a page-turner for me to recommend it to you, too. I suspect McWhorter is a popular lecturer as well. To wrap up, let me refer to this paragraph from McWhorter's Nine Nasty Words English in the Gutter. He's speaking about a particular word that begins with A and ends with S. But I think as you hear these words, you can readily apply this to any of the nine nasty words he covers in this delightful romp through English. McWhorter writes, "There is always a difference between the idealized and the genuine nature of this thing called language. Throughout the 20th century, ASS, while kept under wraps to polite society, was transforming the warp and woof of language in quiet ways. String up Christmas lights in the afternoon and the result is some cords and dank little bulbs, a vulgar kind of intrusion you train yourself to look past. But at nightfall, switch them on, and they not only outline but enhance the house, lend it some magic. You almost don't want to ever take them down. AWS and other curse words are like that, if you know where to look. It's quite a fun book. It's educational. It's lots of things all wrapped up in one. 9 Nasty Words, English in the Gutter, Then, Now, and Forever by John McWhorter. It's available, I'm happy to say, at all of our fine public libraries, including, of course, the West Lafayette Public Library. Thanks for listening.